Hey, a quick message for those of you who are listening to this episode on Spotify. I have a small favor to ask. Spotify now allows mobile users to rate podcasts. I would really appreciate it if you can take a quick pause to go to the Techly Journal podcast page and leave your favorite show your best rating on Spotify. It will help me a lot to get this podcast to reach more people on the platform. Thanks a lot.
You mentioned that you are kind of like intrigued by this problem. These days, actually, it is becoming like a trend, like everyone's problem. Everyone is thinking about it, especially so many startups, software company these days, and they want to measure this kind of a developer experience and productivity. So why do you think only these days it becomes like really hot and trendy?
I actually don't think it's that new. I mean, I think people in business have always tried to measure performance. Businesses, you know, public companies have their stock price public to the whole world. Everyone can see how well you're quote unquote performing. And of course, if you're ever inside of a sales organization or a marketing organization, it's very much driven by targets and numbers and performance. I think business leaders have been trying to do the same thing for engineering organizations for a long time. Of course, I think at some point in their careers, anyone who's worked in tech has kind of bumped into this, but the most primitive approach to trying to measure was through metrics like lines of code or velocity points. Just people looked at programmers and said, oh, they produce code. Let's count how much code they produce. And of course, everyone who's ever written a line of code understands why that doesn't work. But that approach is still pretty common today, actually, surprisingly, even at really big, reputable companies. But I'm sure we'll get back to kind of more like the progression of how this happens later. In terms of, I think, why it's been a hot topic as of late is partly the shift to remote and hybrid working models. So the whole world changed and business leaders naturally wanted to understand how has this changed our capacity as an engineering organization. I think it's also that software is just becoming such a more and more important part of every business. It's not seen as a cost center as much as the lifeblood of every organization. You know, the key to success is innovation and technology. And so I think as more companies realize that and the job market, the market for talent has become more and more competitive, it's just created more pressure overall in the whole system to understand how well you're doing as an organization or even as an individual. So that's my perspective.
I mean, we have been talking from the engineering leader's point of view. We want to have metrics, we want to have measurement. We want to know how features get delivered and that's impact the business performance, so to speak. But what will be some of the impacts maybe for developers, engineers, or the software teams themselves if they actually put more focus on improving their developer experience? So maybe you can share a little bit on this.
I think everyone in any profession, in any trade, you want to feel like you're good at what you do. You want to feel mastery over your craft. And I think that's true, very much true of software developers. It's very much a craft. There's very much a lifelong pursuit of mastery in it that almost every professional developer sort of embodies. In terms of developer experience, developer productivity, and measurement, today, it's not so much about measurement, I think, for a team as just about working in more effective ways. I think just as much as measurement has been kind of a mystery, an elusive problem for software organizations, how to actually be good has also been sort of elusive, right? Software organizations are constantly trying to figure out what technology should we use? How should we organize our teams? What kind of processes should we use to deliver software? Should we do Scrum? Should we do Safe? Should we not do any of those things? Team topologies, microservices, it's just always changing. And so to boil this down for a team, developer experience is one approach to thinking about engineering excellence and maximizing engineering performance. And developer experience is really about focusing on the day-to-day experience of delivering software on a team, understanding what is getting in the way. What are the biggest constraints and bottlenecks and frustrations in that process? And improving those to increase the capacity and performance of the individuals and the team as a whole. So that is really what developer experience is about from the standpoint of an individual team.
And if I'm not mistaken, there are so many terms in the industry referring to the same, almost the same thing, I guess, but not really the same. So developer experience, developer productivity team. Maybe you can share a little bit more what some of the companies do to solve this problem.
Yeah, it's really interesting. This is something I've been focusing a lot on through my own podcasts and research and talking to leaders across the industry. For many years, organizations have stood up special teams or groups within the organization that are devoted to making the rest of the organization more excellent. And in fact, one of the, I think, slightly dated, I should say, names for these teams are engineering excellence groups, engineering excellence teams. But when you look broadly across the industry, you see a lot of different flavors of this type of work happening. I think if you had to give it one label across the industry, I would call it enablement. These are teams, departments whose responsibility is to enable teams and developers across the rest of the organization to be more effective and more successful. So when you look at the industry today, I'll just list them off. You'll see platform teams, infrastructure teams, developer productivity teams, developer experience teams, engineering excellence teams, software delivery lifecycle teams, engineering enablement teams, forgot that one. The list kind of goes on. And what they all share is roughly the same charter. They all exist to help. They all focus inward. They're not external customer facing, they're inward facing. And they focus on helping development teams be more effective, saving them time, helping them adopt better practices, supporting them in specific areas of their features or products that they need support in. The ways in which these different types of teams I described accomplish that goal are a little bit different here and there. But if you had to kind of take a 10,000 foot view on it, I would say some of the teams tend to be more process and culture focused, whereas some teams are more tools and tech focused. And then others are sort of just a blend of both. To bring this full circle, developer experience teams are, I think, the newest kind of evolution of these enablement teams. Developer experience teams have really been born out of platform and developer productivity teams that were traditionally very focused on internal tooling, particularly around builds and tests. The way in which developer experience teams are different are that instead of just being responsible for a few tools that developers use, they're responsible for looking at the developer experience holistically across all the different tools they use, because in fact, that's where a lot of the friction is, between the different tools, not within each of the individual tools. So looking at the developer experience holistically and finding ways to improve that, not only through technology and tools, but also through best practices, cultural changes, even organizational changes.
So if I also can share, when I read your Get the X white paper, there are certain impacts that organizations can get when they invest a lot more in this developer experience. So things like, of course, efficiency. Developer gets more productive and more velocity, so to speak. And then also engineers attrition. I think if you probably work in a company that has so bad developer experience, I guess engineers would probably find another place to work at. And of course, the satisfaction working there. At the end of the day, it's always about business performance, right? If the engineers are productive, of course, you will drive business performance as well. So you mentioned in the beginning about different ways traditional companies use to measure their productivity, lines of code, number of PR, maybe PRH, number of bugs, number of features shipped, software velocity. So maybe tell us more, what are some of the problems if we try to measure productivity by using these traditional metrics? And maybe there are other more traditional metrics that you can share as well.
Yeah, so the quote-unquote traditional metrics or metrics that are, I think, most commonly misused would be really anything that revolves around like counting widgets of what programmers produce. I use the term widgets because the flaw is in the way leaders view software development as something that produces widgets. In other words, they view it as a sort of factory assembly line. And as a side note, what's really interesting is a lot of the most popular software engineering metrics like cycle time, for example, or lead time, actually, those have been used in manufacturing for many more decades than they've been used in software development. So it's interesting that our discipline has adopted these manufacturing metrics when anyone who's built software understands that it's not a repetitive assembly line sort of process, right? It's a creative process. So going back to kind of what the problematic metrics are, so things like lines of code, number of pull requests, velocity points, those are probably the most notorious metrics. Velocity points, which really is about counting the number of agile points that come from sort of the agile ceremony of assigning points in the estimation process, suffers a really, really harmful problem in that agile estimation points are a tool for estimation. And therefore, you're measuring your organization based on how much work they completed based off of the estimates, which may or may not be what actually occurred in actuality. But that's not even the worst part. The worst part is that by incentivizing teams to be sort of graded based on their velocity points, you're actually incentivizing them to inflate their estimates. And so you actually, in this process, completely ruin the actual purpose of velocity points in the first place, which is to provide a honest and useful way to gauge the capacity and forecasts of delivery for an organization. Lines of code, I mean, we joked about it earlier, but again, anyone who's written software understands that writing more code is not better. So therein lies the critical flaw with using lines of code. But in a more nuanced way, it just doesn't really make sense because, as any software developer knows, depending on the programming language, you might write more or less lines of code just based on the syntax. And it's funny, I've actually talked to organizations recently who joke and say they're actually incentivizing people to delete code, not add code. We want less code as software developers and organizations. Like, all code is just tech debt waiting to happen. We want less code, not more. So incentivizing lines of code just creates a completely perverse incentive to actually write poor quality software and unmaintainable code. So those are some examples of problems with what I would call the traditional notorious developer productivity metrics. And this has been talked about for decades. I mean, there's a Martin Fowler article called Cannot Measure Productivity. I think it's from like 2002, where he talks about lines of code and how leaders just keep using it even though it doesn't work. So developers have been telling leaders that these metrics don't work for a long time. Unfortunately, that still hasn't stopped a lot of companies and businesses from at least attempting to use them.
So I guess one of the common challenges why companies still using those numbers is because probably it's hard to get the quantifiable measurement, right? So mostly maybe anecdotal or perception within the company. Our build is slow, our build sucks, or our environment is bad, but nobody really quantifies that. So I guess it's really hard for leaders probably to choose those numbers. But I guess lately there are so many research done around these topics, or maybe previously was there as well, but it was just not popular. So there are a few things that I can pick up from the industry. First is about DORA, a State of DevOps report, or DORA reports, some people call it, and also SPACE from Microsoft. So tell us more about these two popular research and what is your thoughts about using some kind of research-based approach to measure productivity?
Well, first of all, I think we all need to be looking more to research for answers to this problem because it's so difficult. Not only is it so difficult, there's a lot of non-research out there. So many vendors selling their magic metric for developer productivity. So many leaders choosing and adopting ill-advised metrics for their organizations that harm their organization. So we all really need to be more prudent in how we think about this problem and leverage the wonderful research that's come out in the last few years. I'm a huge fan of both DORA, the book Accelerate, and the SPACE framework. I work with Margaret Ann Story, who is one of the authors of SPACE, and Nicole Forsgren, another author of SPACE. And of course, she was the chief scientist and researcher and author of Accelerate and the founder of DORA. DORA was a monumental step forward for the industry because what DORA proved was that engineering performance, software delivery performance, actually helps business. And this goes back to the earlier point I made about how in the past, software development was seen as a cost center. How much are we spending on IT? Whereas today we know that all the biggest and most successful companies in the world are really technology companies. And so Accelerate, above all else, proved that using real rigorous statistical research. One of their findings was also that there were these four key metrics which made up the construct, which they called software delivery performance, which correlated highly or predicted business performance. Those four metrics, of course, have sort of taken a life of their own that Nicole and the other authors of the book never anticipated or intended. We can maybe come back to the merit of those four metrics, but in terms of using them in an organization, the science behind what those metrics correlate to across the industry is real. And Google continues to produce that annual report examining those four metrics and stats across the industry to this day. Space, which is much more recent, was about developer productivity, which is very different. Accelerate was around software delivery performance, which is not developer productivity. That's why Nicole wrote Space, because it was a different problem to be solved. I love Space. I love the premise and the findings and the advice to practitioners and leaders that are embodied in Space. And I think the biggest shift that Space has made in the industry is that leaders are finally realizing that developer productivity is more than just counting widgets. Space talks about how there's five different dimensions of developer productivity and that a developer's day is complex and multifaceted. And it's not just about cranking out code. It's about collaborating with peers and reviewing code and planning and designing features and even talking to customers. And so Space really put forth the idea that developer productivity is complex. And to understand, measure, or improve developer productivity, you need to be looking at it from different angles. And so you've seen organizations try to implement these things, both DORA and Space. And I think that kind of brings us along to my work today, which is Space and DORA really helped the industry think about software engineering performance and developer productivity in the right ways. But I think there's still been a real challenge with, okay, what do we actually measure? How do we measure the DORA metrics? Now that we have the DORA metrics, what do we do with them? How do we measure Space metrics? What does that mean? That's really the work that me, as well as Nicole and Margaret Ann Story are doing today. Is it really builds on the work that they've done. It builds on DORA, it builds on Space. But what we're trying to do is kind of bring that into a more applicable set of frameworks and tools and concepts to really help organizations actually apply this, both measure and improve developer productivity using a set of practices and measures that work.
Thanks for sharing this in details because, yeah, DORA took the industry by storm. I read the Accelerate book as well. It's really good. For those who haven't read it, please go and check it out. And Space, which came in the last maybe 3 years or 4 years, it was also quite revolutionary. Before, people were talking about the four key metrics from DORA. But hey, yeah, there's another angle of developer productivity, satisfaction, and things like that, that maybe we should not neglect as well, because that also improves the software development performance at the end of the day.
I hope you enjoyed this short clip from TechLead Journal favorite playlist. If you find this episode useful, please help share it with your friends and colleagues who you think would also benefit from listening to this episode. And if you want to listen more from this conversation, please go back and listen to the original full conversation with my guest. Stay tuned for the next TechLead Journal episode, and until then, goodbye.